Ready or not.
What's up, Disruptive Innovation Podcast? I'm Ashley Tajay.
What's up, Tribe? It's your girl, Nikki.
What's up, Nikki?
Yo, we're going to have some fun tonight. Yes, we got two special guests, right? Mm-hmm. In the building. All right. I'm going to have our reoccurring guests say hello real quick. Say hello, introduce yourself.
Hello, hello. This is Dez down in Tennessee. What's up,
Dez? Welcome back. We're definitely excited to have you again. And we have a virgin to the show. Hey. my very own sister. I'm gonna introduce her, let her say hello. She came out of the womb ready to talk shit, so be ready. Introduce yourself, guest.
All right, so like Nikki said, I'm her sister, Dominique, D, as some might call me, and I do talk a lot of shit, so y'all get ready.
Yes.
Here we go.
So I have a crazy question, okay? It's real out of the box, okay?
So, okay.
I have no feelings about it, but so, here we go.
Would you rather only have sex in a missionary position, or every time you have sex, it has to last 6 hours or more? It cannot be anything less than 6 hours.
That's easy.
I'm taking the 6 hours.
Okay.
All right, bro.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not fucking nobody for 6 hours.
6 hours.
No one has worked 6 hours of my day.
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. So Don, all right. So,
Don,
you only do a missionary?
Man.
That's what I'm saying. That's too much boring.
But six fucking hours of fucking, you're going to be raw.
Yes. No, you gotta mix it up.
You could have play. Planner, but it can't be like, but you gotta mix it up. But it has to, it gotta go for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Damn.
But foreplay, role playing, all those things are involved. Come on.
Give me missionary for 20 minutes and call this shit a day.
Oh no, that's too much boring. For the rest of your life? Hell no. No, no, no.
It can't be like a 5 year bid.
That's why I went six. Right, Come on now.
I'll give you for the next 15 years.
15?
I still win. And apparently it's a lesbian perk. Y'all need to give
up. I know, I guess. I'm missing out because.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, 6 hours is
hours.
Like, I'm gonna say 6 hours a dick sounds horrible.
It really does. That doesn't even sound fun.
Yes.
So it could be 6 hours out of the week, but you gotta be 6 hours at the moment, though. It can't be like an hour on Monday, 3 hours on Tuesday. So what y'all thinking?
I'm still doing missionary.
I done answered. I'm just
laughing. I'm doing missionary. I'm not changing my answer. I'm not taking 6 hours of dick.
Okay, so you got 6 hours. I mean, you got missionary. Dez got 6 hours. I'm going to be risky. I'm going to go on with the 6 hours. Nikki, what you got?
Whoop, whoop.
Damn, yes. Son. I mean, I don't want to. Six hours. Fuck. That sounds horrible, but I don't want to be stuck with one decision. Like, that's one thing. I don't like when somebody takes my decision away from me.
Nick, you got to take it for 6 hours, bro. That's the decision.
You got to. You gonna have to.
I mean, she can hold the truth. You know what I'm
saying? Right.
I hate you right now, yo. I hate you.
That's why she can't make a decision. Because she don't know where she's going with it.
Somebody cut the mic. Whosever idea it was to have family on the show, we need to keep them off.
Yo.
I fucking love it. Oh.
That is so funny.
I was just playing video games and shooting people. No, I was watching Extraction. I did that already.
Oh my gosh.
Did Nikki give us an answer? I didn't hear an answer.
Yeah, I said six.
Okay, all right. So you said six. Okay. So I got a crazy question then, all right? Mm-hmm. So Mother's Day is coming up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay for your spouse to get their child's mother a Mother's Day gift?
All right, I'm going to answer
Okay.
And okay, I'm going to say this. I'm both. I am the baby mama, and my husband, you know, obviously has a baby mama. Okay. I'm going to say yes, right? And I'm going to say it depends how. I've raised his son since he was 8 years old, but I'm also cool with the baby mama. Like, we've never crossed paths in a negative way. In my opinion, if my husband was to take our oldest son to the store and buy some and have him pick something for his mom and ship it and have it be from him to her, I don't think that's a problem. I think teaching him that you know how to give, how to show love in a different way, and I don't think that's a negative thing at all.
I agree with you 100%. Now, if it's for you're buying the gift for the kid to give to his parent, then cool. But if you are buying a gift for the kid to give to the parent and you're buying a gift also on the side, then I think that y'all need to be together.
Okay, I agree. I agree with you on that. So, like, if he was to buy two, if he was to buy one from him to her, that's completely different.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like if my and like I said, I'm both. I'm the baby mama and my I have a husband with a baby mama. So if my ex was to buy me a gift, I would understand that my husband would feel some type of way, and I would even feel like, yo, like wait a minute, what are you doing? Like, that's a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
So I like get that.
Some feelings. Like, if you're buying gifts, like personal gifts, I feel like that there's still some feelings there, and I feel like you need to fix that. Get that together before you try to come over here.
It's I think it's possible, yes, and that's why it would just, you know, red flag, if you will. But yeah, I've just something to talk about. Yeah. Like, hey,
now
what's up?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, quick story though.
Mm-hmm. Just gotta clear that.
When first got divorced, me and my current husband exchange gifts with my ex-husband and his current wife.
I think that's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a couples really cool. exchange. Like, it was a household gift to where we could both use. It wasn't personal. So we were getting along at the moment and trying to build a relationship so we could co-parent better.
Ooh. No, mm-hmm.
not.
I like
nice.
That.
Look at that's, you, that's co-parenting.
So mature. That's mature. I like that.
Yeah.
Everybody's in an agreement. Yeah, it's not absolutely. Just you just saying, like, I'm going to just go get him a gift and I'm not going to say nothing. So, like, I like that everybody knows and everyone's in agreement to do that. I like that.
Yeah.
Now, okay, question. Mm-hmm, because definitely. I almost don't think, all right, I definitely agree with the fact that it's cool for the kid to give the parent a gift, so to speak, like for Mother's Day. But I almost feel like, mm-hmm. depending on the gift, I think it's okay for the parent to give the parent a gift as well, because it's not as if it's not Valentine's Day, it's Mother's Day. The relationship hasn't changed between you guys. It's you're still co-parenting. So if I acknowledge that, hey, you're a good parent, you are a good mother, you are a good father, if it is Father's Day, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think it kind of depends on the gift as well.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, it definitely depends on the gift. But I feel like there should still be a conversation
behind that.
With your spouse before you give that gift.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. If you both are coupled up in some type of way, then yeah, I think it's wise to have a conversation with your spouse prior, especially if you're the gift giver.
Right. But you'll be so surprised. Like some
yes, absolutely.
They're not like that. They just don't get a gift and be like, "What you mean? That's my." I don't care if that was your mom. Like, stop playing. Like, we need to do this the right way. Because you're not doing that. Like, because, you know, some baby mamas be like, listen, I'm glad that he moved on because I'm not with him. I moved on. He moved on. We just want to be friends. But, you know, some of the baby moms be holding on to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it really depends. It depends on what that relationship looked like.
Yeah.
Like, if it's one of them, you got to keep your distance. Yeah, what's up?
Oh, I was saying, I totally agree. So, I have a caveat with that. Here's the kicker for me. My husband has never made me feel insecure with his relationship with his baby mama.
Mm.
And I feel like that makes a huge difference. Like, I've never questioned where he stood with her. So if he was to communicate, you know, if he had to call her or if they had to meet up and exchange the child and I wasn't there or any situation like that, it was never uncomfortable for me because he's always kept it co-parent, you know, just very clean, very open. It was never any lines crossed. And I think that matters. Nothing. I think a lot of men or women, so women too, they cross the line or they kind of play teeter-totter and it makes it uncomfortable for the partner.
Exactly. It's when you start to blur those lines. Yes. For you, it's always been very clear where everybody stood.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact.
Yeah, so if he was to buy something or if he was to communicate with her, or text her, or call her, I never questioned, you know, that it was that it had bad intentions because it was always with good intentions.
Exactly, and I feel like that's how it should be. It should be like a respect, and there should be a line that we don't cross it, and we don't even get near the line. Like the line is so far away where we can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Facts.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, and I think I'm hoping I'm catching in here, right? But I would say that it's also about, like, both couples actually finding what works for them, too, setting that expectation beforehand so that you can co-parent in a healthy way. Because I think in that case, each couple, I think, would have very different what's okay and what's not okay because a lot of people are different. So I just imagine that each couple would need to get together and talk that out and set the expectations beforehand. And I imagine that could help
absolutely.
A lot of things.
Definitely agree with that. So, Nikki,
mm-hmm.
you got some old stories, some new stories. Introduce that.
I want to take a trip down memory lane. Since most of us have known each other for years on years, obviously, you have my sister here, so there's a lifetime. Des has been with me for over 15 years. I've known Ashley since she was a kid.
Yes.
So, I want to take a trip down memory lane real quick. I want to, I want to ask you, what are some of the craziest things you've either seen or experienced, whether it be from your personal life or your friend's personal life? Just some crazy outlandish shit, swap stories. And the part B is going to be old you versus new you. So I want you to tell a story on old you behavior versus new you behavior.
Okay. I like that. I love that. Who want to go first, though?
Who want to go first?
Not Ashley, you go first.
All right, boom. So like this was not recent, but
that's a New York story already. Boom.
So about like 2 years ago, right? I was like, I'm not gonna say dealing with this person because one thing, like right now, I'm only 24, so like I'm experimenting on people. So like I'm just experimenting, seeing like what I like. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not getting too attached. Because I need to figure out what Ashley likes. So 2 years ago, I was experimenting with someone, right? Really nice guy. He seemed like he had it all together. Real cool. So we would talk all the time. We would hang out, like little light stuff. And then I had met one of his friends because his friend worked with me. Right? So we worked together. And I think that he's mad cool. Like he's really, you know, attractive. And he was feeling me, I was feeling him. So we start talking now. Like I said, I'm experimenting. You understand what I'm saying? I'm experimenting. So I'm single, I can do what I want to do. So me and this person. Now at this time, I don't know that they're friends just yet. Right? So I don't know that they're friends. So we ended up, me and this person, I take care of guys with developmental disabilities. So we take them out to like the movies, we go shopping, we go swimming, like we do normal stuff so they can have like a normal, regular life, right? So one day we take them to a zoo in Connecticut. Now I work in New York. So Connecticut, the ride was probably like 45 minute ride. It was like deep into Connecticut. So I'm thinking, we going to Connecticut. I'm not going to see nobody in Connecticut, right? We pull up. Our guys have wheelchairs, so we got to get them out of the van. We take them out of the van, and we start walking in. As we're walking in, he's like, yo, that's my boy right there. I got to talk to my man. Like, that's my man. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me, you know, push him over with the wheelchair to go. I'll buy the tickets. You go talk to your friend. We get up closer, and I'm thinking in my head, like, hold up. I know him. But I'm just playing it cool. I'm not going to say nothing. So we get up closer, and I'm like, oh my God, that's him. So I'm going to say his name is Bob. So Bob is the one that does not work with us, and Jason is the one that works with us. So Jason and Bob have been best friends for years, but I'm dealing with both of them, not on a sexual level with both of them though. So Bob, we get up to them, we, you know, start talking. Bob obviously knows, like, all right, she's at work because you see me pushing grown people in wheelchairs. So Bob is like, you know, playing it cool, like, oh, what's up, who's your friend? He like, yeah, this my friend, this Ashley. I told you about Ashley. And he like, this is Ashley? So Jason is telling Bob about me.
Uh-oh.
So Bob is like, this is Ashley? I didn't know this is Ashley. Ashley's spicy. And I'm like, no, I'm not spicy. You know, I'm not spicy. So he like, yo, like, but the craziest thing is that Bob was at the zoo with his child's mother that he said that they have a terrible relationship. And he does not rock with her. He takes care of his kids and she's estranged, but they were at the zoo together with their kids and they looked coupled up.
Ooh.
So I played it cool, obviously. I played it cool. Like, oh, nice to meet you, Bob. You know, laughing, joking. Then we walk away. So I'm asking Jason, like, what's up with Bob? Like, that's his shorty, that's his wife. Jason says, yes, that's Bob's wife. They're married and they have two kids. So I'm like, I start laughing. I'm like, that's crazy. He like, yeah. I'm like, wow, how long they been married? They look cute together. He's like, yo, they've been married for like 10 years.
Yo.
I'm like, 10 years?
Bob, that's a trip.
Wow. Bob is only like 28. What you mean 10 years? He like, yo, they're high school sweethearts. So I was like, oh that's crazy. So obviously, Bob is like low-key following us around the zoo. He keeps giving me like these nasty looks. He keeps texting me, but I'm obviously ignoring it. And then it ended fine because Jason, I never found out because Bob never said nothing. But then I ended up having to like bug out on Bob. So, yeah, what's done in the dark always comes to light.
Ooh, baby.
Right.
Ain't that the truth?
No, first of all, you had a little same girl scenario and then it ended up to be much more than that. That shit is crazy.
Isn't it crazy? And it was like, when I found out, I was like, okay. Now I'm really about to be on my bully. Now I'm going to be Savage Ashley. I'm not going to be Knife Ashley anymore. So Savage Ashley's here. So,
ooh, okay.
Right.
So spicy, right. It
spicy
is.
Ashley. Spicy Ashley.
So, yeah.
I like spicy. I like spicy.
Right? So then I would say like the old Ashley probably would have felt some type of way. And I would have been like really sad. But new Ashley, she's savage. So it's like, I don't care. I was experimenting with you anyway. So now I know the signs. So on to the next.
Okay, that was you just answered two questions in one. Okay, for real.
Next. Right.
Who next?
Next,
Dev.
Oh, Dev! Come on, Dev! Mm-hmm. You got something for us?
I know you got stories now.
I know you do.
Shut up. So wait, I need you to ask it again because my stuff is going to be rambled, so hit me with it.
No, it's not the before and after question. Just take a trip down memory lane. You can share a crazy story of either your own or one of your friends.
Just crazy story. Just crazy story. I lived in Europe for a few years, and my home was in the south of France, and I based there, and then I spent a lot of time like just outside of Switzerland, and then we did a lot of volunteer work up in Paris, right? So this is also to set up what happened was we had finished volunteering up in Paris, right? And we were helping out and doing kids youth group stuff, and I was gonna go actually meet up with some friends like in the southwest of France, and we were gonna it was like a reunion thing for something we had done a couple years ago. And so I was like, my French at this time was kind of medium, I'm afraid. And so what happened was I wasn't 100% sure, like, I would ask for the right train ticket. So my friend that is French, I asked her to order the ticket for me to make sure that I got to, like, the location in Switzerland. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So we do our volunteer up there. After the thing's done, we're all at the train station, and I got my ticket, and I get on my train, and I head to my destination. So I thought. As it turns out, there is a town by the same name in France
that
there is in Switzerland. And my friend that I asked to get me the ticket because I wasn't sure about making sure it was okay, got me the ticket to go to France instead of Switzerland. So I'm actually on the other side of where I need to be, like in the country. It winded up being like completely opposite. So I didn't realize this until I got there and I was like, hey, where are you at? And she was like, I'm here, where are you? And I'm like, I don't like the sound of that. Maybe a little further ahead. And so what happened was, is I kind of looked around and I ran into these very kind French stoners who helped me figure out that there is a town also in Switzerland by the same name. What? And I'm in the French one. So yeah, yeah. So that was cool. But they were very nice. And then I was able to get a ticket. I just had to go back home at that point because it was only going to be like an overnight, like a day trip thing. And by the time it would have taken me to get to there, the thing would have been done. The little reunion would have been done. So I met some very nice French stoners in a town that I can't remember the name because it was too long. And, you know, there you go. But I have great stories of being able to get back home. Okay. I was not high and I was totally calm. It's pretty amazing. But I met really cool people. The French do not hate us, for all of those out there. Yeah. No, it was fun. It was an adventure.
I want you to tell. Okay, so like one of her friends has the craziest story that I've ever heard in my entire life, and I feel like we have to share it with our listeners. And okay, then if you want to add in your own story, you definitely can, but you have to tell them double wrapped.
Oh my god, okay. So I have a homegirl.
She's already dying.
She's kind of like also in the experiment phase at this time, not anymore.
Okay.
And you know, so she would go out, she would have a lot of one night stands and do her own thing. And one night she was pretty intoxicated and you know, drinking, partying, a lot of drugs. And you know, we're pretty fluid with our drugs here, you know. We'll, you know, you have ecstasy, you'll do a little blow, smoke a little weed, you know, we don't discriminate. Right. So we're out and about and we're having like a blast. She disappears and she's with some dude that she met at the club and she's literally having the best time of her life, I guess. And she goes home with him and they're having sex. And he, in the middle of sex, pulls out. And when he pulls out, I don't really know the whole details to the story, but when he pulls out, a second condom comes out. And he's yo, there's a condom. And she's kind of like, oh, your condom came out. He was like, no, my condom is still on. And she's like, so she didn't want to tell him that she had sex either earlier that day or the night before. I can't really remember the details, but and it was from somebody else. So she ended up telling him like, oh no, sweetie, your condom was just double wrapped. You're fine. Keep going.
And he fell for it. He wasn't concerned. He was like,
all right,
let's go.
Yeah, he wasn't concerned. Like, he just kept going. He was like, bet. Like, double rap. Like, that happens in the Magnum world.
Yo, when I heard that double rap shit, I fucking fell over. That shit was hilarious.
So, I do have to say this, though. I have to say, for somebody that was that intoxicated, to think on her feet like that is that amazing. Quick?
Girl.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's a thinker.
She is a thinker. I don't know if it speaks so much to her cleverness while intoxicated as opposed to his priorities with his dick maybe already. Those are the things that I question.
The double rap is hilarious. It's hilarious.
It's hilarious. Oh my god, it's even funny.
So he was like, yeah, you're right. Let's go. What's up?
Yeah, right. Like, oh yeah.
Thank you very much. Right. I can keep going. Right, that's fine. We only got 5.5 hours.
All right, so a personal story. I'll give you a personal story.
Okay.
It's not as bad as that. I was stationed in Japan and I was in the military, for a lot of you that don't know, and I was stationed in Japan. And we were out one night drinking, partying, again, having a really good time in Tokyo. And I was outside smoking a cigarette, having a drink, and Americans walked by. Well, they weren't American. They were actually Australians. They walked by. So, of course, being in Japan, you're curious to see people that are not in the military walk by. It catches your attention. Mm-hmm. So we started talking, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they said that they graduated law school, and they were from Australia, and they flew to Japan and decided to celebrate. I was so intoxicated that I told them I was a doctor. And I was also there celebrating with my clan. And we were like partying and popping bottles. Mind you, my budget is not doctor's budget at all. Okay. So yeah. Not at all. Yeah. So we were partying. I was so intoxicated that I don't remember this necessarily to the fullest. All I know is that we left. We went to their hotel room, which was like in the middle of Tokyo, in a kind of like in one of the tallest buildings overlooking the city. So it had to be very expensive. Mm. Right. Wow. And then like it That's was cool. a gang of them. And like I brought like a small group of my people that we were not doctors at all. But okay, they came. And we were partying and having a good time. Like I know is that I woke up the next day, with my face against the glass overlooking Tokyo. I thought that I was like free falling from the building. Like it scared me for a second until I realized I was like actually inside the building. Yo. And like I was like, okay, so you know, you do the ho check. Like, that does anything feel funny? Are your underwear still on? All right, you're good. You didn't do nothing. And wow. Like it was literally like 2 or 3 in the afternoon. There was people passed out everywhere. There was coke, there was drugs, there was alcohol, there was money, there was people naked. I just kind of like woke up very, you know, like I gotta go home. Like this is not even what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I was so drunk. I got, like Des said, I got lost in a subway system for like 3 hours trying to figure out how to get to my house.
Yo, but that's it's crazy.
That is the best crazy. Part of that whole thing.
That's a good memory, though. Like, yo, that was crazy, but I survived.
I did, and I had a ball. I had a ball doing it.
Yo, that is so cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yo, and then Nikki.
All right. So, I remember one time. I had gone out with my girlfriends. I think I had just like literally just turned 18, and we were going out to this 18 and over club in San Diego. And we were out and we were dancing and having a good time. And there was a young artist there that was debuting a song. So it was nothing that you've ever really heard much of. Like it was cool. It was all right. You maybe heard it a couple times on the radio. The local DJ played it, whatever. It was cool. So we're dancing, we're having a good time. And like the artist is up there being real choosy. And he's like up behind the DJ booth or whatever. And someone comes over to my girlfriend and I, and they were like, oh, you guys are really cool. Like, we really just like your energy, y'all are dope. You should come to an after party with us. And I'm like, you know, a little, oh yeah, cool. Like I'm semi sort of like a little stupid naive. And we're like, okay, yeah, no, we could do that. We could do that. So there was 3 of us total. So we decide we're going to go to this after party after the club closes with this artist and, you know, his people or whatever. And so we're like, cool, because the club kind of closed a little early-ish. It was like 2. It was the weekend. We wanted to do something extra, something fun. So we're driving and whatnot. We pull up, and it's a house. I'm like, the fuck? What type of after party is this? Like, I'm disappointed. So we go in the house, right? Unassuming as shit. And I know. Shut up. Aww. I hate you for laughing right now.
I was I'm high and I'm not responsible for my.
So we go inside and they were like real hospitable, whatever, like gave us some drinks. They were like, oh, let me show you around the house. Mm-hmm. Cause the DJ lived in a part of San Diego that was like right on the beach. It was really nice. It was a cool property. Mm. So nice. They split us up. Sure. I see that now as the older person.
Oh,
and
shit.
I go with the, like, I think she was like the agent. And then like, I don't know, one of the DJs, we go and they take me like down into the basement. It was finished. It wasn't like a creepy basement. They take me down. They're like, they're showing me around. And then all of a sudden, like they turn off the lights.
No.
Yes. Yep, and I start to feel hands and stuff like that. I mean, they start to hiss. And I'm like, oh, shit. God. Like, now I'm terrified. I'm like, what do I do? So I'm like, okay. So I kind of go with the flow a little teeny bit, nothing crazy. And I'm like, shit, I got to get back upstairs. So somehow I'm like, all right, I got to go to the bathroom. Or I don't know. I come up with something to where I leave the room. I get connected with the other two girls and like we stay for a little bit. We both shit a little bit. They tried to get spicy, but we dipped. And I had exchanged numbers with one of the guys, with the artist there. And he kept like trying to talk to me and stuff like that. Oh, you're leaving. We're going to LA tomorrow. There's a hip hop fest. Like, we're going to meet up with Snoop and Snoop's people. And I'm thinking like, you're full of shit.
Right.
Like, you're on the local grind. This is fucking bullshit. Yeah, your DJ got a little nice house or whatever, but I'm fucking leaving. So whatever, we go home and I wake up to a text message. Oh, you should have been in LA with me. Bro, fast forward 10 years later, you know that artist was a Grammy winning artist.
Yep. And I still give you shit for that.
I know. You bitch, you should have took him up for the team. It was Miguel.
Wait, say that one more time.
It was Miguel.
Yeah, cut out. What happened?
Bitch. It's like one of my favorite artists of all time. Yeah. Yep. I fucked that up.
Oh my God.
Yo, damn. And years later, though, you would have been cool with it, though.
I would have been fine. I would have been just fine.
You would have been cool. You would have got like the fine. Best of all worlds.
Before and after. Facts.
Oh, shit. Yep.
Old me versus new me. Old me. I used to wild out in certain scenarios. I don't know. I'm like Jekyll and Hyde. I'm like super spiritual, super conscious, very deep. And then you get me on the wrong day and my Scorpio comes out big time. Like a bitch will fight and fuck you up. So I remember this one time I was talking to this guy and he liked me at that time more than I liked him. I too was in an experimental phase, but I was very honest. I was like, I'm seeing you, but I'm also seeing other people. He really, really liked me. And he wasn't getting where he wanted to get with me. So I remember one time I went to go pick him up. We were driving around, blah, 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 blah. And he's like irritated at me for something. And I don't remember what it was, a long time ago now. And he was like, blah, 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 bitch. And I was like, excuse me? Did you just fucking call me a bitch? I pulled the car right over. And I was like, you don't get the motherfucking out of my fucking car. I kicked him out of the car and made his ass walk home. Like, I dead left him on the side of the road. I did not play that shit. I would be ready to pop at the drop of a dime. So new me does not participate in that type of behavior. So old me versus new me.
There we go. There's some growth.
There is no girl.
Versus new you. You would have a condo. No,
not at all, but we'll go with it.
Shut up, y'all.
Exactly. No, I really think
so funny.
All right. I
love you. So who goes, Des? You want to go or you want me to go? All right, so
no, go for it, girl.
I'm not going to say no names. And I was dating this dude, and we broke up. For whatever reason, and I have a really bad attitude, and I was drinking that night. I was out with my homegirl, and I saw that he was on the dating app. Of course, I know that he was on the dating app because I was on the dating app, but this is old me, so I didn't care the fact that I was on the dating app. I only cared that he was on the dating app.
Okay.
So I pulled up to his house, crawled through his window, and cursed him and the girl out that he was motherfucking talking to. When I tell you, I was fighting both of them. The whole motherfucking house got destroyed. There was a lot of words being said. Okay, a lot of things happened. So that was the old me. I know.
Damn.
So the new me, more recent, right? I was, again, talking to this guy. And, like, he owes me something. And I wanted to really, like, I confronted him and have a conversation with him. And even though, you know, I might have smacked him and punched him, I just walked away. I walked away.
It's just assault. It's
with
fine.
You know, less than the old me would have done. Like, I probably would have hit him with my car back in the day. No,
I've done that. I've tried to do that to somebody.
Me too. I've actually okay, done it to somebody. That's the sad part.
People hearing this would be like, "Yo, something is in that bloodline, yo." Like, we really living up to our stereotype right now. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah. See what you did? Way to go. That's why we can't have nice things, okay?
He deserved that one. I'm going to crawl through the window, too.
Right, thank you.
He deserved that one. You know, so old me, new me, future me, I'm climbing through the window, too. I told you, okay?
Where all of me?
All of me.
You're not experimenting with me. I'm experimenting with you. So you, if this
I'm loving it.
All right. Oh, you got something?
Oh. All right. For experimenting, I had an experimenty phase.
Old you versus new you. Old you versus
very
new.
Gay. Old new versus new me. Yeah, this works too. Yeah, I've grown from this. So I had also during my experimental phase of figuring out some things about how I feel about life and love and all of that warm, fuzzy stuff. I was also partying like every weekend at least and, you know, just, well, picking up whoever I can and always going for, I had a tendency to always go for what tended to be straight girls that came into the gay bar. That tended to be not as straight as they thought they were. And as we lovingly refer to in the community as spaghetti straight, which is you are straight until you're wet and then we help you with the rest. So that's always happened to be my target. And just I don't know why. It was the challenge, I guess, that I enjoyed as well. So anyway, I was actually out with friends one night and I was out partying and having a great time. And it turned out that this woman actually started really hitting on me a lot and she was gorgeous. And it turned out that she was someone that is recognizable locally. I'm going to say that. Mm-hmm. So no names are mentioned or things are implied. And so I was pleasantly surprised and I'm enjoying the evening. And she's like, you know, you want to get out of here. And I was like, yeah, I'd love to. Let's go. And she's like, well, do you mind if my husband comes? And I was like, well, you know that I'm really gay. That's so I'm for that. All three of us. Oh, no. Mm-mm, I don't want his penis near me. Thank you. Now, if you want to get into some other things at the same, and this is where my experiment comes in. I was like, but if you guys want to do the things and I can watch too, I'm open at the moment, you know, let's fuck it. Uh-huh. I was also very intoxicated, FYI. Not on all the coke and the blow, but just, you know, the weed and the liquor. I keep it simple. And so we then go back to her place and, or their place as it were, and things begin. And it was so awkward with him trying to engage just because she also turns out to be very gay and they sadly got no longer together shortly thereafter that, but she was not interested at all. And she gave no fucks. It was really just about being gay and having the gay sex. And so I was like, I'm not going to engage with him. That's your job. Like I had to tell her because she was, I felt bad for him. This is where my cancer gets involved. It's like, I felt bad that this is the scenario that's happening. So, yeah. But we fixed it by just going downstairs. And then I fucked her brains out. And then I left. But, yeah, it was a great, great time. So, old me was, you know, honestly very... well, really, I mean, truly just trying to figure it out. And... I think that's actually in one of the episodes that we did before, but it was about me really just trying to figure out where I'm at, because with being told that you're not allowed to be gay and then all of a sudden not giving a fuck, I did this really big pendulum swing and just like, all the women, yes, do all the things. And I've grown since then. And I won't say it was all bad, but some of it was definitely more complicated, gotcha. I think, than necessary.
So you lucky had like a 2.5 thumb. Not a 3-thumb, a 2.5.
Yes.
Yes.
Two, not a 2.5 right. thumb.
A 2.5.
Yes. 2.5.
I know, right? A 2 2/3.
Right.
So funny.
Yes. 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 So at first I did. I felt bad, but I also felt awkward that he was just watching the whole time. And I was like, there's only so much of it is not awkward for me. So, yeah. That is yes.
Ashley. So
I gave mine.
Oh, you did a double wrap.
I did. I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yes, all right. Well, I think this definitely concludes. We had some bullshit and fun on here. I hope you guys all enjoyed yourselves. Guests, thank you for joining.
Yep, anytime. I loved it.
Yes. Life experience.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please listen, like, and subscribe at Disruptive Innovation Podcast on Instagram. You can also find us on Spotify. Please listen, please like. Thank you so much for listening. We love you guys. Out.
Yes,
we can call this one like, you can add it in there and be like, P.S. an extra story just to embarrass my sister.
Yep, listen, just to embarrass my sister.
Happy
just, family. Yeah, we happy were family. All together. Cousin Des, my sister, we were chilling. We go to Tennessee, right?
Dying.
And Nikki and I called Des, like, yo, we riding. We go to Tennessee, and it's like a weekday, so a lot of places are closed, and they're not packed. We end up going into this, like, pool hall or whatever hall. It is.
Yeah, it's like a billion.
Yeah, it's a bar, and they have,
so we chilling, we playing, we actually are having a good time, mind you. Nikki and myself, we were down in Gatlinburg, so we were like tipsy drunk already by the time this was happening.
Pause. So, you got to tell them real quick, Gatlinburg. If you go there, every little place gives you like shots of what is it, whiskey?
Yeah,
moonshine.
Whiskey, moonshine,
and moonshine. Yeah. But they charge.
Yeah, but it's only like $5 for 10 shots. Okay. So you can hit like 10 places. So we were like drunk.
Yeah, they were drunk. So we chilling. We at the bar. Yeah. And like, of course, this random person comes up to us, a female, and she starts hitting on my sister, on Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to tell her, but we don't really care. She's buying us drinks. We're chilling. So now we're about to roll, and she asks Des, who's driving, because we're staying with her, we visiting her. Like, yo, can I get a ride? And Des is kind of like, okay, fuck it, I'll give you a ride, right? Like, how bad can that be?
I can drop you on, because I asked first, and it was on the way to where we were already going.
Yeah, like, so we rolling, and then she's like, oh, here's some gas money, get some gas. And she's like homeless, but she's not really telling us that she's homeless. She's like, well, let me go with y'all. And we were like, no, we're not doing that tonight. So finally, like, she's not giving us an address. Des is like, yo, I need your address or you're getting the fuck out. And I'm just looking at Nick like, here. Yo. You brought a fucking straggler, bro? Like, and then my boyfriend's looking at me like, yo, she hit my blunt. Now I can't even smoke it no more. Like, we all just kind of looking at each other like, yo.
What the fuck?
Finally, yeah, like, we end up just having, like, she gave us a location, and she was like, yo, just leave me here at the park. And then she tried to go on, like, Instagram live, and I was like covering my face like no. And like my Kevin Hart voice like no.
You wasn't ready.
You wasn't ready. Like, don't put me on there.
First of all, in my defense, I will say, I felt bad. Like, we were the only minorities. We were the only black and brown people in this entire establishment. So when this person saw me, I was friendly because she talked to me and she was like, yo, because I was standing at the bar and they wouldn't take my order. Uh-huh. Like, the girl kept skipping over me and she was like, you're clearly new here. They're not going to take your order. That's what it's like down here. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, it's that serious.
Oh, shit. It is not like that. It's just they. Like,
okay. Well, that's what this person said. So I didn't know. And she was like, if this person, if the bartender comes back, I'll just get your drink. I was like, oh, okay. I was being friendly. Uh-huh. Friendly. And then when she came back, I was just being friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel bad for people. There was absolutely nothing there, but then I didn't want to be mean, and then she just stuck around and she straggled, and it that's how that went.
She straggled, and in her defense, if I was really like adamant about it, I also get soft and squishy about stupid shit like this. And
all
you know
that I had a great time, and that was hilarious. I was just in the backseat dying laughing because there was nothing else better to do.
She was like, really, Nick? Really? Is this worth one free beer? I'm like, right. Fuck you.
Like, okay. Now, I have to explain. Yes.
I think, I think it was two.
Nikki will do damn near anything for a save a penny. So.
First of all.
So,
that's also
probably,
a fucking
like,
fact.
The beer was probably only like $2 and we had to take a whole homeless person to a park for these fucking $2. Like, I would have given her the two motherfucking dollars. Right.
I would have given you $5. It would have been fine.
So
save
then
me
we
gas
were
money
to drop her off just at like a random place.
Yes, at a park.
Like a park, yeah, just like a like literally a park that was along the way. And I was like, nah, you can get out right here. I'm done. Cause seriously, she kept trying to push it, and then we got to this gas station. And she kept saying, like, no, you can use my car and all this stuff. And I was like, the car's not working. Yeah. Look, it's okay if you don't have gas money. And then she got all defensive and being like, you just think this is how it came out that she was homeless. Like, you're just saying that because you know that I'm homeless. I was like, I actually didn't know that. That's your own insecurities. But at this time, I just want you to get the fuck out of my car. Where do you need me to drop you? And she was like, whatever. And then she told me this park just on the backside of where we were at. And it was fine.
So
like,
but that was your good deed.
That was a whole good deed for the whole year, and then give me motherfucking nowhere, goddammit. No, I'm sorry.
No, I feel good about it. I'm fine with it. No regrets.
That's hilarious. Oh.
And that was in Tennessee.
My
right?
Atlanta.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is so funny.
Yeah. Right up her in
that
Knoxville.
Is hilarious.
It was that was a good trip. One. That was a good PS.
Yes, it was.